And it seems to me that the first question is entirely a biology question, and it's extremely hard to answer. One has to be very speculative, and many of my colleagues would say that we should not do this speculation, that we should simply hold our, keep our counsel until we know more. I say that's nonsense. I say we absolutely are irresponsible if we stay silent on this. We need to give our best guess as to the time frames in order to give people a sense of proportion so that they can assess their priorities. So I say that we have a 50-50 chance of reaching this RHR milestone, robust human rejuvenation, within 15 years from the point that we get to robust mouse rejuvenation. 15 years from the robust mouse. The public's perception will probably be somewhat better than that. The public tend to underestimate how difficult scientific things are, so they'll probably think it's 5 years away. They'll be wrong, but that actually won't matter too much. And finally, of course, I think it's fair to say that a large part of the reason why the public is so ambivalent about aging now is the global chance I spoke about earlier, the coping strategy. That will be history at this point because it will no longer be possible to believe that aging is inevitable in humans since it's been postponed so very effectively in mice. So we're likely to end up with a very strong change in people's attitudes, and of course that has enormous implications. So in order to tell you now how we're going to get these mice, I'm going to add a little bit to my description of aging. I'm going to use this word damage to denote these intermediate things that are caused by metabolism and that eventually cause pathology. Because the critical thing about this is that even though the damage only eventually causes pathology, the damage itself is caused ongoingly throughout life, starting before we're born. But it is not part of metabolism itself. And this turns out to be useful because we can redraw our original diagram this way. We can say that fundamentally the difference between gerontology and geriatrics is that gerontology tries to inhibit the rate at which metabolism lays down this damage. And I'm going to explain exactly what damage is in concrete biological terms in a moment. And geriatricians try to hold back the sands of time by stopping the damage converting into pathology. And the reason it's a losing battle is because the damage is continuing to accumulate. So there's a third approach, if we look at it this way. We can call it the engineering approach, and I claim that the engineering approach is within range. The engineering approach does not intervene in any processes. It does not intervene in this process or this one, and that's good because it means that it's not a losing battle, and it's something that we are within range of being able to do because it doesn't involve improving on evolution. The engineering approach simply says, let's go in and periodically repair all of these various types of damage, not necessarily repair them completely, but repair them quite a lot, so that we keep the level of damage down below the threshold that must exist that causes it to be pathogenic. We know that this threshold exists because we don't get age-related diseases until we're in middle age, even though the damage has been accumulating since before we were born. Why do I say that we're in range? Well, this is basically it. That's the point about this slide is actually the bottom. If we try to say which bits of metabolism are important for aging, we will be here all night, because basically all of metabolism is important for aging in one way or another.